Over 100 migrant farm workers on an Ontario farm face immediate deportation. The workers staged a strike in protest of working conditions and unpaid wages at Jesgeier Plant Limited in Simcoe, Ontario. I'm joined on the air by Chris Ramsarup, who we reached by phone from Toronto. Chris is a migrant organizer with Justicia for Migrant Workers. Hello, Chris, and hey. Welcome to CJSF.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good afternoon from here.
Yeah, it's great having you on the show.
Thanks a lot.
So before we get into what happened in the strike and with management afterwards, can you describe what the working conditions were like on the farm?
I'm going to describe both the working and living conditions. So over the last couple of weeks, I understand that the workers were working on average of 70 to 72 hours a week. So it's 11 or 12 hours a day. The living conditions are absolutely deplorable. Some of them are working, and it's quite cold down here right now. There were in some of these bunk houses no windows. They use sheets of plastic as a way to insulate their housing. One of the bunk houses had sewage leaking in and absolutely no heat whatsoever. Men were cramped into confined quarters. So the conditions were quite deplorable from what we've seen.
And so are these workers with an official temporary work program, or are they undocumented, or are they Canadian permanent residents who have migrated here and are looking for work?
The majority of the workers that we spoke with were workers employed under the auspices of the Seasoned Agricultural Worker Program. The Seasoned Ag Program is a government-to-government program between Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, and the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States. On this particular farm, there are workers from Mexico, from Trinidad, from Jamaica, and from Barbados. There were also a smaller group of Canadian workers, but you know the impact of this has been detrimental for these migrant workers. Many of them are owed over $1,000. There's a group of long-term workers, people who work for more than 4 months there, who are owed thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars in unpaid wages?
That's right, yes.
Per person?
Yes, that's what the allegations right now. So with the Caribbean workers, is that they have there's a deduction, the saving scheme, to ensure that the migrant workers return to their home country. So 25% of their salaries are held in the trust until they return home. The allegation right now from several of the workers is that money hasn't been sent to the consulate, which also may mean that they will not get that money.
Well, I guess we'll come back to what they're doing right now to get their money back. Why did they decide to stage a strike in particular as their tactic?
The reason, my understanding for the reason for the strike was every day the employer or other representatives of management will say, well, yes, you're going to get your pay today, you'll get your pay tomorrow, you're going to get your pay, and that never came through. I think the workers were angry. They were fed up. They were nervous about, you know, how are they going to provide for their families in their home country. So they said, "Enough was enough. We're not going to work if you're not going to pay us." So I think this is how it started. And the other aspect too is that, you know, these programs, and you know, in Canada as the United States, there's been a history of racial divisions, whether you racialize workers against one another, racialize workers against Canadian workers, and the fact that you had Mexican and Trinidadian, Jamaican, and Bahamian workers standing together was extremely important.
And so, correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the impression that it's that striking is something you have to kind of have a legal right to do oftentimes. And I don't know how that applies to migrant workers. Do they have the right to strike?
Well, nobody has the right to strike in Ontario in the agricultural industry. So this would be considered a wildcat strike, where people withdraw their labor. So this is definitely not sanctioned by the state or any form of labor relations. However, what I think we have to look at is the idea of withdrawing your labor as a form of protesting unjust conditions. And it's a way that workers and people bargain. Throughout history, many different communities have used this. So the official sanction notion of a strike doesn't exist for agricultural workers, because agricultural workers in the province of Ontario still do not have the right to form unions.
They don't even have the right to form unions?
No, it's illegal to form a union here in Ontario.
Wow. That's incredible. How long did the strike last?
It's been, I guess, it's a week and a half. Most of the workers have been repatriated to their home country as of Wednesday and Thursday. Most workers have been sent home. There's a small group of people who are still here. They're staying elsewhere now, but most of the workers have been returned to Trinidad or Barbados or to Mexico or Jamaica.
So what happened? So they striked, or they had the strike, and then did management, like, how what was the relationship there between management and the border services?
Okay, so it wasn't the border services. So it was the seasoned ag workers. What happens, there's something called repatriation, which really is, in effect, deportation. It doesn't go through the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act, but once your contract is completed for the year, you would return home, right? That's the nature of the seasoned agricultural worker program. Now, what happened in this particular case is because these workers had no money, they had nothing to really provide or sustain themselves on here in Canada. The employer, working with the government agents of the home country, they're called the liaison office, are the ones who push for the repatriation or the early return home. So that's what happened. And the workers were also really put between a rock and a hard place, because at the same time that they were being told they got to go home, they were being thrown out of their bunkhouses. So in effect, they would have been homeless if they'd stayed here.
And sorry, that's... So how many workers you said were left?
There's a handful right now. Most of the 110 or 120 have left. There may be anywhere from 10 to 15 people still here in Canada.
And so what direction are you... Is your organization and maybe the workers that are left here, what direction do you plan to take from here?
I think it's you know, what we have to do is a transnational approach. So even the workers who have left Canada or who are forced to leave here in Canada, to continue that developing that relationship with them, we are looking at employment standards and looking at different options around Ministry of Labor and Employment Standards Act, and we are also looking at the Wage Earner Protection Program. That's when a company goes bankrupt or they file for bankruptcy protection, so to see if these workers can recover or recoup any of the monies lost during this bankruptcy period for this employer.
And so how would that work? Like, I know that another group of migrant workers here in Vancouver had direct correspondence with Employment Standards Branch in the area. How would they go about doing that?
You know, to be honest, it's going to be very difficult. The fact that they're not here is going to prove to be tremendous obstacles. There can be something considered an expedited investigation. That might be one way to do this, meaning that, you know, the Employment Standards Branch would go investigate the books of this employer and try to do that route. Number two, through the individual employment standards complaints process. And both are, you know, have its shortcomings. The entire Employment Standards Act itself is quite discriminatory towards agricultural workers in general. So one right now is hoping that we can start the process with trying to challenge and try to say that these workers should have their back paid or unpaid wages returned to them. So we would be working with several legal clinics and other volunteer allies to try to push that forward. The second part about the Wage Earners Protection Plan, we have to wait until the employer actually officially declares bankruptcy, which we think might be in the next month or so, and then that process would begin.
Do you suspect that they'll probably declare bankruptcy? Have they been using that as their financial situation as an excuse or something, or why are you making that a...
So what happened was we did a delegation with about 40 workers to the employer's premises on Tuesday. And the workers had asked questions. We'd asked about what was the condition. Did they file for bankruptcy? Are they under bankruptcy protection? Some of these workers were transferred, meaning they were at another farm, and then just to end the harvest, they went to this one. And they had declared bankruptcy. This is the employer on early September. And many of these workers were brought in after that period. So while they were under bankruptcy protection, they brought in a whole bunch of new workers who had no idea what was going on. So during the conversation with the employer had acknowledged that they were planning to file for bankruptcy at the end of the month.
Okay, and how would you recommend people who aren't necessarily there in Ontario, how would you recommend they support these workers?
I think the best, you know, Justicia, we have a chapter out in British Columbia. So, you know, you can check the Justicia website, migrantworkers.org, to find out more information for what's happening on the BC side. But I think overall that this is not, you know, this is not just one bad apple. Some people are going to be like, well, yeah, this is a separate, isolated incident. This is happening across Canada. So we need to address and challenge and call for structural reform of our immigration policies as well as our labor policies to make sure that workers' rights are defended.
Right. Well, thanks so much. And I will repeat your website again when we extra this piece.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us on the air today, Chris. And best of luck in your fight.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care.
I've been speaking with Chris Ramsarup. He is a migrant organizer with Justicia for Migrant Workers, and he reached us from Toronto, Ontario. If you are interested in Justicia's work or for more information on the case of these workers, you can visit, as Chris said, www.justiciaformigrantworkers.org.